Thank you for listening to our Bayshore Rehoboth podcast. We always love to hear stories about how Bayshore is helping to have an impact in your life. We would love for you to take just a moment and send us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. Also, be sure to stop by our website at bayshorecc.org to find out all kinds of information, including past messages, videos, pictures, links to social media, and an opportunity to give online. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, guys. Welcome to Bayshore. It's good to have you guys with us. What better way to start a message than with Jack Johnson, right? Or the beach, Jack Johnson. I can't believe you guys drove here this morning. Seriously. And at 10:30 too? Like, that's amazing. It's Labor Day weekend. You guys are crazy. But I'm so glad you guys are here. My name is Cotter. I'm the Next Steps and the Students Director here at Bayshore, and I'm super excited about Cake Pop Night with the students this week. I love Cake Pops. My wife Emily and I usually go out to Starbucks at like 9 at night and get Cake Pops. They're so good. So I'm excited for Students Night. Students Night's always awesome, but Cake Pop Night is going to be legit. So that's super cool. And I'm so glad you guys are here with us this morning. I was away for a week in August with my wife. We went on vacation with my family. It was awesome. It was a great time, but we missed a Sunday. And it was such a bummer to miss a Sunday hanging out with you guys. Like, the best way to end a week is to be with you guys hanging out here in the basement. So I'm so glad to be back. I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad our Facebook Live and our podcast listeners are able to join us. So can you guys help me making some noise for them? I think we might need to rename them our intelligent family because they were smart enough not to drive on Route 1 this morning, and they still get to hear the message. But I'm so glad you guys are here. You guys got to hear our awesome band. Didn't the band kill it this morning? Oh, man. That was awesome. They did such a good job. And Labor Day weekend's always a fun weekend. It's kind of a sad weekend, too, because it kind of is like the unofficial end to summer. Kids go back to school. And it's just kind of a bummer in those ways. But what's really cool about Labor Day weekend is this Sunday of Labor Day weekend, is the last Sunday for the next, like, 6 months without something incredible. Do you guys know what that is? Football. Pro football. This is the last Sunday until like the second Sunday in February where we will not have pro football. And I am so psyched about that. Like, college football is cool. I've been watching some this weekend, but nothing compares to like pro football. Like, it's amazing. What's that? Eagles. Yes. Go Eagles. Absolutely. Joel isn't here, so we can praise the Eagles from the stage. Yes. I might get in trouble for that. No, I'm super excited for football. I spend like so much of my free time listening to football podcasts and reading about football, and I love it. And I think my love for football comes from a tradition that we had growing up. Every Sunday, my family, my parents, and my brother and sister, we would always wake up, go to church, and then when we came home from church, we'd spend the entire day watching football together. My dad would grill burgers for us. My mom would make this sausage dip, and she'd have the Tostitos. And it was just so much fun. There's nothing like Sundays in the fall. And one thing that I used to love doing was on commercials. We had this thing that my brother and I would do. We had like our kitchen led right into our living room. It was like a straight shot. And straight before you hit the wall was our couch. So my dad would kind of sit in the corner and he had this little Nerf football. And on commercials, my brother and I would run routes through the kitchen and dive over onto the couch and try to catch the ball. And it was just so much fun. And we've all tried to like keep it going as we've gotten older and continue watching together. And Bo, who's our worship leader here, he's not here this morning, but he married my sister. And when they got married, instead of watching football at my parents' house, we started watching it at their house. Which Bo learned by watching football with us very quickly that we are very, very passionate Eagles fans. Very passionate Eagles fans. My brother lives in Virginia, and he drove all the way up to my parents' house a couple years ago to watch the Eagles in the Super Bowl, just because we were in the Super Bowl. Like, we are passionate Eagles fans. But when I got to college, I kept watching with my parents. Even though I moved out, every Sunday after church, I would drive down to their house and watch games with them. And I still do that now. Their house is like an hour drive, but I still make it every Sunday. We already have the Eagles-Redskins game next Sunday at 1 o'clock set to record so that I will not miss anything on my drive down there. So we are so psyched about it. But every once in a while, my parents will be out of town, or they're visiting family, or they're on vacation, and they won't be there, but I'll still go down there and watch football. And it's just not the same, you know, like I'm at the same place, I'm eating the same food, which is their food, so it tastes even better. Something about free food, it just always tastes better. But that's all the same, but it's just not the same atmosphere down there when I'm watching it by myself. You know, I don't have anybody there with me to complain about the refs, which is makes it kind of lonely. And there's nobody there to give a high five to when the Eagles get a touchdown. There's nobody to talk to about how terrible my fantasy football team is, which they're always terrible. I have another draft later today, and I just know my team's going to be terrible. But watching football together is just 100% better. It's just, there's nothing else like it. Like, it's fine to watch it on your own, but with other people, it's just totally better. And I believe that not only is football better with others, but our relationship with Jesus is better with other people. So today, as we hang out for a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the importance of small groups and how our personal relationship with Jesus grows and thrives the most when we come together in community with other Jesus followers. So if you guys have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be in 1 Samuel. We're going to be in chapter 23 of 1 Samuel. And if you don't have a Bible and you would like one, we have these orange Bibles in the lobby, and they are 100% free. Please grab one. Grab one to give to one of your friends. We would love for you to have one of these Bibles. You can just stop by our information desk before you leave to grab one. But before we get into 1 Samuel today, we're hopping into the middle of a book. We're hopping into the middle of a chapter, so we don't really know what's going on. So I just want to give you guys some context to what we'll be talking about. So there's a few main characters. So the first guy is David, and you guys have probably heard of David. David's the guy with the sling and the rock that threw it at the giant and killed him, David and Goliath. So that's the same guy we're talking about, but it's a little bit later in his life. So right now what he's doing is he's running away from the king of Israel. The king of Israel's name at this time is Saul. So Saul found out that David has been told that he's going to be the king later in his life. So Saul's trying to kill David so that he can remain the king. So Saul's going after David, and David is running away, and he's kind of terrified. So he's kind of in the desert. He's trying to keep a low profile and stay out of Saul's path. And the third guy that we'll talk about this morning is Jonathan. Now, Jonathan has a complicated relationship in this whole situation. So he's the son of Saul, who's trying to kill David, but he's also David's best friend. So what we're going to see is how David reaches out, or how Jonathan reaches out to David during this hard time in David's life. So if you want to read with me, we're going to have it up on the screen. It's 1 Samuel chapter 23, and follow along with me. It says, "While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this.' The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh." So David's at this place called Horesh, and he's just in the middle of the desert. And while he was there, he learned that Saul was trying to kill him. And I cannot imagine that feeling, like finding out that someone is trying to kill you. That has to be terrifying, let alone the king of Israel. Like, this whole place, the king is coming after David. That must have been like feeling like you found out that Liam Neeson is coming after you, trying to kill you. Like, Liam Neeson, when he goes after somebody, he takes them down. And so that David must have just been terrified. So he's struggling, he's scared, he's in the desert, he's trying to stay alive. And we're going to, as we go through this story, we're going to highlight some key things that show that we are better together. And the first one of those things that we can learn from what David is going through is that we all need community. We all need community with other Jesus followers. So David, when he killed Goliath, he was really young. Not many people believed in him, but he's grown up since then. Now he'd been told that he'd been described as a man after God's own heart. He had been told that he was the future, going to be the future king of Israel. And he also had been a very successful warrior in the army. So he was accomplished. He should have been very, very confident. But David was hiding, and he was afraid. He was terrified that Saul was going to come and kill him. But if anybody should have been strong, it should have been David. Yet even he needed Jonathan to come out and encourage him. So let's look at verse 16 one more time. We'll throw it up on the screen. It says, And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. So David was struggling, and Jonathan went out to him to help him find strength in God. Now, David needed that support from Jonathan. David, he's the future king, but he needed his friend to come out and remind him of God's promises in this really difficult time in his life. And that's something that we need from other Jesus followers as well. Is there anybody here that just doesn't like asking for help? Like, if you come across a problem, you would rather do more work than ask somebody for help, yeah? I tend to do that. So, like, earlier this year, this is my first year here at Bayshore, and I had my first Easter here at Bayshore, which is awesome. But leading up to that, we put a lot of chairs in here, like tons of them, and we have big stacks of chairs in the storage closet over here. You guys remember the storage closet that I almost flooded and I talked to you guys about? Yeah, that one. I do not have a good relationship with that storage closet. I just need to stop going in there. But so I needed to get these chairs out, and we got these big stacks. So I'm like carrying them out and setting them up and all this stuff, and my back was starting to hurt. And then after Easter, I had to pick them all back up and carry them back in. And it was just a lot of work. Well, so like a few weeks later, maybe like 5 or 6 weeks later, we had our basement barbecue down here. Do you guys remember that? It was a lot of fun. We grilled out. Sean grilled out a bunch of food. It was awesome. It was a really, really good time. We had we moved all the chairs to the side. We set out these big white tables down here, and we had just a really fun night together. Well, at the end of the night, I was like right over there in the corner. I remember where I was. It was a crazy moment for me. And I was folding up one of these white tables, and I look over and I see Bo, our worship leader. And he's got like 10 chairs on this cart, and he's just rolling them around the room like it's nothing. And I just kind of stared at him, and I found Joel, and I was like, Joel, what's happening? Like, what is this? Like, what's Bo doing? He's like, oh, he's using our chair cart. I was like, we have a chair cart? Like, how long have we had a chair cart? And he's like, dude, we've always had a chair cart. Like, I can't even tell you when we got that thing. I was like, where have you been hiding it from me, man? He's like, oh, we just keep it in the back of the closet. And so that whole time, when I pulled out all those chairs and put them back for Easter, I could have been using a chair cart, but I didn't ask for help. All I had to do was literally walk through that door and ask Joel, hey man, do we have a chair cart? But I didn't do it. I just went through it on my own. And I feel like we just don't like asking for help. We like to tough things out, and that's kind of part of our culture. We pull ourselves up by our boots, and we tough it out, figure things out on our own. You know, we're told that as an adult, if you're a real adult, you're self-sufficient. You don't need to ask anybody for help. You just take care of your problems on your own without support. But we need support. Even David, this mighty warrior, this man who was going to be the future king of Israel, even he needed Jonathan to encourage him. And we need people around us that can help us and that can encourage us. And how we reach out for that support is through Bayshore groups. And what a Bayshore group is, or what a small group is it's a group of people that meet regularly, whether it's like once a month, once a week, and they spend time getting to know each other, they spend time reading the Bible together, and they spend time praying for each other. And the beauty of small groups is that you have this group of people that you can connect with about life, about all things in life, whether it's small things like being an Eagles fan, which is awesome, go Eagles, or whether it's other things that are like deeper and more serious, like marriage struggles and struggles with work. You know, small groups are a place where you can have these people that you have meaningful relationships with, that care about you and that come alongside of you to support and encourage you throughout life. And they're such a crucial part of the life of a Jesus follower, and honestly, for anyone. Like, if you're here today and you're not so sure about Jesus, you're not sure if you want to live your life for him, look, a small group is a great place for you too, because it's a great place to ask questions. It's a great place to be around other people that are living for Jesus and see what their life looks like. We all need people around us who can encourage us and people who can challenge us, people who will celebrate with us when great things happen in life, people who will be there just to support us when difficult things happen. And that's what Bayshore groups are. They're a group of people that know you and that care about you and that go through life with you side by side. And we all need that community. And Bayshore groups are where we can find that community. So let's look back at verse 16. I want to look at it from the other side of things. So we looked at it from David's perspective, but now I want to look at it from Jonathan's perspective. So let's read that together. It says, "And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God." So our second point this morning is that we strengthen each other in Jesus. We strengthen each other in Jesus. David was struggling, and Jonathan made an intentional effort to go out to him, to travel to him, and strengthen him in Jesus. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen naturally. It's something that he had to make an intentional effort to go out and do. He sought out David, and he wanted to help him. He made David a priority in his life. He made David's relationship with Jesus a priority for his life. And when I was a freshman in college, I went to Salisbury University, and I was a part of this Christian group that met on campus, and we had kind of like church on campus. We would have a worship team. We'd have like a speaker come in. And during my freshman year, I was also a part of a Bible study through that, a small group. And one of the older guys in the group named Brian, he reached out to me. He was like, "Hey, man, would you like to get together maybe like once a week and get some food and read the Bible together?" And I was like, "Hey, free food sounds good. Like, I don't have money for food. That sounds awesome." So we would hang out. We get some food, and we talk about life. We'd read the Bible together. We watched the World Series together that year, and I'm a big Phillies fan, which is not a lot of fun because the Phillies are awful. He's a big Yankees fan, which is probably a lot more fun. So the Yankees played the Phillies in the World Series that year, and they crushed us. But we got to hang out, and we got to watch that together. It was just a lot of fun, and that was such a huge thing for me, that relationship, because I needed somebody who was older than me, who could come alongside of me, point me in the right direction, and show me what it means to be a Jesus follower. And that didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen naturally. Brian made an intentional effort to dedicate a couple hours of his time each week to helping me out, teaching me what it means to follow Jesus, and also to just kind of caring about me as a friend. And what he did reminds me of some verses from Hebrews. So I want to check these out. They're in Hebrews chapter 3, and starting on verse 12, it says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end." And what these verses tell us is that we need to make it a priority to encourage each other and to hold each other accountable. These verses warn us against having a sinful, unbelieving heart, and that's something that we're all vulnerable to. You know, we live in a world that just surrounds us with unbelief, surrounds us with sinful things, and we need other Jesus followers that can be there alongside of us, that can help point us in the right direction, that can help reveal to us when we're not living right, that can help prevent us from taking our eyes off of Jesus. Just like I needed Brian's guidance when I was that college freshman, and he modeled for me what the life of a Jesus follower is supposed to look like. He helped keep me on track. He helped encourage me to live my life for Jesus. And small groups are so important because they're a place where you can find relationships like that. They're a place where you can be surrounded by other Jesus followers that will be there for you and help you remain on track living for Jesus. And they're also a place that we can be that person for others. So like Brian was that guy for me my freshman year. And then at the end of my freshman year, he challenged me. He was like, "Hey, like, you've seen like how I've helped you throughout this year. Like, you should look for other people that you can help out next year that are coming in as freshmen." So in my sophomore year at college, a friend and I, we started a small group. We were able to kind of help out some guys. And being a part of a small group is as much about getting support and encouragement from others as it is about being there to provide those things for the other people in the group. And the Bible says in Romans 12 that each of us have gifts that God has given to us. Each and every one of you has a gift and multiple gifts that God has given to you. And in a small group, all of those gifts are necessary pieces to the group. So if we don't engage in a small group, then we're not using the gifts that God has given us to help out other Jesus followers. But when we do engage in a small group, we can look for ways to encourage and build up the other people in the group, and we're giving God the opportunity to use the gifts that he's given to us. Look, we all know what it's like to have a bad day, to have a bad week, maybe even like a bad month or a bad year. And in those times, we need encouragement, we need support, we need people that we can just hang out with, people that we can talk to about stuff that's going on in our lives, and people that are just there for us. And Bayshore groups are where that happens. They're a place for us when we're going through difficult times, and they're a place for us to help out others when they're going through difficult times. Each one of us has gifts that will benefit other people in our Bayshore family, and engaging in a small group is a way that we can use the gifts that God has given us to encourage each other and help each other out through life. Let's look back at that last verse that we read in Hebrews chapter 3 real quick. Verse 14, it says, "We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end." So the goal for us is not just to believe in Jesus and make that decision. That's an incredible moment. That's an incredible part of our life with Jesus, is making a decision to follow him, but it doesn't end there. That's a beautiful thing. The ultimate goal is that our faith will remain strong throughout our entire lives to the very end, through every trial. And that's our goal, not just for ourselves, but it extends out to the whole Bayshore family. So my goal for my life is that I will remain strong following Jesus through anything that I experience all the way to the end of my life. Now, my other goal is that each one of you will remain strong following Jesus no matter what trials you go through. And what's so cool about Bayshore groups is that that's how we can make that happen. That's how we can encourage each other when different people in our family are going through difficult things in their lives. Because we saw in this story how Jonathan was committed to helping David find strength in God. And we can commit ourselves to being a part of a Bayshore group and helping each other find strength in God during difficult times. So how did Jonathan do this? What did he say to David to encourage him? What did he do to make this happen? Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 23 and read verse 17 again. Here's what he said. He said, "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." So our third point this morning is that we remind each other of the promises of Jesus. We remind each other of the promises of Jesus. These words that Jonathan was saying to David, they weren't just like pump me up words to encourage him. He was reminding him of things that God had promised to him. So earlier in David's life, he had been told that he was going to be the future king of Israel. And so what Jonathan was doing is saying, man, like, remember God's promise to you. Don't be afraid of Saul. Don't be afraid of the things that he's trying to do to you, because God has a plan for you and God has promised something to you, and that's not going to be out of his control. Saul can't change what God has promised. And that is what we can do for each other in small groups. We can remind each other of the promises of God. We can remind each other that God is good no matter what we're going through. And having a group of people that knows you and that can share your life with you is just incredible. When you have something amazing happen in life, you have all these cheerleaders around you that are pumping you up, that are encouraging you. And when you go through something difficult in life, you have people that are by your side to encourage you, to support you, to text you like, hey man, you got this, you can wake up again today and go at it. You got these people that are praying for you and caring about you. Last year I had a small group with my wife, Emily, that met at our house. And my favorite part of that small group was at the very end each week, we would take time to have like prayer requests. So anybody in the group could kind of share whatever was going on in their life, and then we would pray for each other. And it was really cool. Like, people could share awesome things. People could share small things that happened in life that were good, big things that happened in life that were good. One of my favorite examples was one of the girls in our group named Katie. She met this guy while we were while she was in our small group, and she told us about him. She's like, "Oh, he's a super cool guy," and it was really exciting for her. And then a few months later, she came and she shared that they got engaged, and that was like really awesome. And a few months after that, Emily and I got to go to their wedding and celebrate their wedding with them, and it was so cool to like experience life together with her and be a part of that like huge awesome moment. And then there was also time when we would share things in our group that people could share struggles. People could share difficult things, struggles with work, struggles with friends, with health, with relationships. And in those times, we're able to encourage each other. We're able to pray for each other and remind each other of God's promises to love us and provide for us, and remind each other that God always has a plan for us. And having that community of Jesus followers that is always there for you and looking out for you to celebrate life when it's good and to encourage you and support you when it's not so good, it's so important. And we all need that, because we weren't meant to go through life alone. We are better together. And the Bible talks more about this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. So let's toss chapter 10 up on the screen for us. So chapter 10, verse 24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. We were meant to have strong relationships with one another. Relationships where we can motivate each other in acts of love, which is caring for the community, caring for each other, and also to motivate each other in good works, which is living a life that looks like Jesus' life, a life that avoids sin. And it can be easy to allow ourselves to lose focus of these things, to lose focus of these acts of love and these good works when we isolate ourselves from other Jesus followers, when we're trying to go through life alone, when we don't have other people around us that have the same beliefs and the same convictions as us, our lives start to look less and less like Jesus. But when we make a commitment to intentionally surrounding ourselves with other Jesus followers in small groups, we have a community of Jesus followers that are pushing us in the right direction, pushing us towards these acts of love, pushing us towards good works. And that's something that that I didn't really experience in high school. In high school, I went to a Christian school, and I had friends that were Jesus followers, and it was cool, but none of them really talked about their faith in Jesus. So each of us was just kind of going at it alone. So I was just kind of trying to figure it out for myself, and I didn't really have anybody there encouraging me or showing me the right things to do. But when I got to college, I had a group of Jesus followers that were around me. These guys that I was in small group with, other guys that were older that we play sports and video games with, and in that environment, my relationship with Jesus, it just totally changed. After years of just kind of guessing at what it meant to be a Jesus follower, I was surrounded by people that were modeling what it looks like to follow Jesus, and that they were encouraging me to do that same thing. And these guys, like, they're just living so much differently than all the other people that I was surrounded by in college. Instead of seeking out sin, they were avoiding sinful things. They were encouraging each other instead of making fun of each other. They were going to church instead of going to parties. They invited me to serve at a local soup kitchen on Saturday mornings where they'd give out food to people in the community. And they showed me that being a Jesus, what a Jesus follower looks like by being intentional about reading their Bible, inviting their classmates to church. And by surrounding myself with these guys who were intentionally putting Jesus first in their lives and putting their faith into action through this love and these good works, my life started to change. I started reading my Bible consistently. I started looking for opportunities to share Jesus with my classmates and to invite them to church. I started spending my Saturday mornings at the soup kitchen, waking up early, and we'd give out clothes to people that would come. We'd give out food. It was super fun. We got to play football with the kids in the community that would come, and it was such a blast. And I started looking for ways to encourage people instead of just thinking about myself and focusing on myself. And having those relationships with other Jesus followers who were intentional about living for Jesus and living out their faith, it totally changed my life. And it changed how I look at life, and it made the way that I live look a lot more like Jesus. So I encourage you guys to get involved with a Bayshore group. You'll see your relationship with Jesus and with those around you change. You'll have a community of Jesus followers who support you, who encourage you, and who pray for you. You'll have an opportunity to use the gifts that God has given you to support and encourage other people in our Bayshore family. And small groups, they really completely changed my life. They had an impact on my love for Jesus. They had an impact on my love for my community. They had an impact on my love for other Jesus followers. And I believe that if you engage in a Bayshore group, you will see your love for Jesus and your love for your community and your love for other Jesus followers grow in ways that you just can't imagine. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for keeping us all safe in the traffic this morning and bringing everybody out today. God, I just thank you for this example of Jonathan and how he really was intentional about reaching out to David and encouraging him and supporting him. And I thank you for how that relates to small groups, God. And I pray that you would help all of us to get involved in a small group. I pray that you would help us to just really engage in groups with other Jesus followers where we can learn more about you and where we can encourage each other and we can have that support when we're going through difficult times. And I pray all this in your name. Amen.